السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ووضع الكتاب فترى المجرمين مشفقين مما فيه ويقولون يا ويلتنا ما لهذا الكتاب لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها ووجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا ولا يظلم ربك أحدا. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المسلم أخو المسلم لا يظلمه ولا يخذله ولا يحقره. التقوى ها هنا، او كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Honorable and respected and beloved elders and brothers, there is no doubt in the fact that the strength of Islam and the dominance of Islam lies in the strength of the Ummah. The strength of the Ummah lies in the brotherhood of the Muslims. And to a great extent, we find that this was a task that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had paid a great deal of attention towards, and the seerah and the biography of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam bears ample testimony to the fact. When he had come to Madinah Munawwara, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had come to a fragmented community, the Aws and the Khazraj. If you look at the lineage, Aws and Khazraj were two brothers from one common parent, and their children had discord, disunity, issues with each other, and that created disharmony amongst them. And the Aws and Khazraj were in disharmony, they were at loggerheads. But no sooner did our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam come into Madinah Munawwara, he created an environment of brotherhood, not only between them, but then they jointly had become the host of the Muhajirun, the brothers from Makkah Mukarramah. History also bears testimony to the fact that the bond of brotherhood that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had created between the Muhajirun and the Ansar was never witnessed amongst mankind ever. That a man unknown to me had come to Madinah Munawwara, and I gave out half my wealth, I gave out half my home, I gave out half my assets to that person. I opened my heart to the person, and he had become my brother. And it remained such right till the end of the era of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. So this effort of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the spirit of brotherhood. And when we turn the pages of the Quran and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will find numerous prescriptions of maintaining the bond of brotherhood. In the hadith that was recited, amongst the many different prescriptions, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us three prescriptions. Today when we speak about the condition of the ummah, more often than not, our hearts and our minds go towards Muslim countries, Muslim leaders, Muslim politicians, community leaders, and I don't know whether it's surprising or it is sad, I have forgotten about me. I would look at everybody else with a microscope, but I will not microscope my own activities. And this is what the message of this hadith of our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is all about. Let's clean inside out. Let us try to understand the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam first, and then we take it from there. Al-Muslimu akhul Muslim. First, the statement that a Muslim is a brother to another Muslim. After being categoric, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the demand of brotherhood is the elimination of three factors. La yadhlimuhu, he would not oppress his Muslim brother. Wala yakhdhuluhu, neither would he abandon him. Wala yahqiruhu, and nor would he belittle him. Now when we try to understand all of this, for a few moments, let us look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the role model himself, and let us try to take some kind of inspiration from Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We've heard on many occasions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's character and personality. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. O Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are on a lofty status of character. Generally, that is where it stops. Junayd al-Baghdadi, rahimahumullah, has dissected this for us, and he has given us an insight to what is the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and what contributed to the lofty personality and the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that we begin to understand the dynamics of it all. He says, إِذْ لَمْ تَكُنْ لَهُ هِمَّةٌ سِوَى اللَّهِ عَاشَرَ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقِهِ عَاشَرَ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقِهِ وَزَالَهُمْ بِقَلْبِهِ. The very first thing is the concentrated effort of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was on none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And probably that is the first oversight from our side. When we come into the masjid, we will want everyone to be silent, because now I engage with my Allah. I need to concentrate on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Junayd al-Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi is saying to us that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not confine his concentration to Allah ta'ala only whilst he was in ibadat, only whilst he was in salah. But his concentration on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was throughout his every activity. It was not only confined to the masjid, it was not only confined to the musalla, or to the salah in itself, or to an ibadat, but it was vast, it was 24/7. Ashara an-nasa bi khuluqihi. Whilst Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would interact with people in the loftiest and with the loftiest character and personality, wazalahum bi khalqihi, wazalahum bi qalbihi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's heart interacted and his heart was latched on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our error number one is that don't only try to concentrate on Allah in your salah. Expand it and concentrate on Allah ta'ala whilst we are sitting in the privacies of our offices, whilst we are focused on the screens of our computers, whilst we are in the privacies of our homes, when we are interacting with our families, and whoever it may be, don't ever leave Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that heart is latched on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whilst we are dealing with people, then the natural result of it will be that we will deal with people in a better way. Unfortunately, when we deal with people, I have forgotten about Allah. I have forgotten about my responsibility to Allah. I've made a commitment, I've made a promise, I've signed a contract, I've promised a wage, I've promised a time. When due date comes, I have forgotten, I have left town, I'm making tawaf of Baytullah, I have not kept up to all of that, and what do we call that? The common term is zulm. Now this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he never ever detached himself from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the first aspect. The second aspect is, our mother Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha states that on one occasion two gentlemen had come to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they engage with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She admits, I could not hear the conversation, but body language suggested that they were uncouth with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were not very kind to him. And on the other hand, I observed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interacted with them in a way that was unusual of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Neither could I hear what he had said. When the interaction was over, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come to me, and I said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you were not as gracious to them as you normally are to people. That is all. You are not as gracious to them as you are to people. She didn't say you were oppressive, you were aggressive, or anything of that sort. But you are not as gracious. Now look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a natural, immediate introspection. Now if somebody has to say that to me, you were rude, you were oppressive, there's no introspection, be defensive, and you'll say to the person, you're getting personal. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately turns towards Allah. He had never left Allah. And then he makes a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma inni ittakhastu ilayka ahdan fala tukhalifini. O Allah, I make a pledge, I make a covenant with you, and O Allah, do not break this covenant with me. In other words, allow it to stand. فَإِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ. O Allah, I am a human. فَأَيُّ الْمُؤْمِنِ آذَيْتُهُ شَتَمْتُهُ وَلَعَنْتُهُ وَجَدَلْتُهُ. O Allah, whichever believing person I had harmed, either I used unbecoming language, or I had cursed, or I was physical, then فَجَعَلْهُ لَهُ, then make it for that person صَلَاتًا وَزَكَاتًا وَقُرْبَةً. Make it a form of blessing for him. Make it a form of purification and a means of closeness to you on the day of Qiyamah. Now this was a special unique feature of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he could have asked Allah Ta'ala. You and I, we would need to have it redeemed. We will have to ask the person for maaf. We cannot hurt or harm someone and then make dua to Allah Ta'ala. But look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Immediately he turns to Allah and he makes this pledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, what we learn from here, in everything else we will say practice makes perfect. So if we had made an error insofar as our personality, our character, our interaction with someone is concerned, immediately we need to seek forgiveness from that person, have it redeemed, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us that inner strength and that inner ability to go on and seek from that person that forgiveness. The repercussions of zulm is so great in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Az-zulmu zulumatun yawm al-qiyamah." Oppression becomes the form of many darknesses on the day of Qiyamah. It is not like we are oppressive in this world and it is the end of it here. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminds us that tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, it is going to be the form of many, many darknesses. يَوْمَ لَا يُخْزِ اللَّهُ النَّبِيَّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ نُورُهُمْ يَسْعَى بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا أَتْمِمْ لَنَا نُورَنَا وَغْفِلْ لَنَا إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Allah Ta'ala speaks about our traversing over the Sirat, which in our vernacular we call it the Pul Sirat. Pul actually is a bridge in the Urdu Farsi language. So that bridge of Sirat, we need to cross it. And if we slip, it is the fire of Jahannam below us. And the light of that is the light of Iman. The light of that is the light of our Amal. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is alluding to the fact that the oppressions and our oppressive behavior in this world is going to be the cause of the darknesses at that time when we stand on that Sirat to cross over. So in this world, probably, we got away, or we seem to have got away with oppressions. We seem to have won the battle with others in an oppressive manner. But there on the day of Qiyamah, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is standing and he's saying, Allahumma sallim, sallim, as the ummah is going past. He's seeking from Allah, oh Allah, let them go, pass in a safe way. But on this side, Allah switches off the light. And no matter how wide a highway may be, you do not find your way in the darkness. Here is something that is sharper than a sword and thinner than a hair. And we need to pass that. And there's absolute darkness. The chances are very, very bleak. Friends, once again, my opening statement. When we speak of zulm and oppression, when we speak of the loss of brotherhood, the lack of unity in the ummah, let us look into our hearts, look into our homes, as brothers. How are we to our siblings? As children, are we perhaps not oppressive to our parents? As parents, are we not oppressive to our children? In our business places, whatever our designations be as employers or employees, are we not committing zulm in the whatever ways we are doing? Coming back to our family structures, whether it is by way of inheritance, whether it is financial matters, whether it is between us and our spouses, all of this has an impact on the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If two blood brothers cannot live as blood brothers, then how do we expect the ummah to live in a brotherhood? It all negatively impacts on the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the ultimate of it all, the ultimate of it all, in our Islamic history, we have dark days. At the pinnacle of this ummah, when Allah had given this ummah sovereignty and kingdom. I'm going to run through what happened in Iraq in a point in time. That when the Muslim had the rule in their hand, and they began to oppress the indigenous of the areas, they had not been Muslims. They were not worshippers of Allah Ta'ala. But then that oppression had reached such stages that they could not bear it anymore. Today we will speak about a march to the embassy or picket outside the Consulate General's office. Or perhaps we'll try to write an article, or we'll petition through the net or through social media, but we will find some way to vent it out. They had nothing. An elderly, weak person leaves his community because he couldn't see his people suffering at the hands of the Muslims. He goes out into the hills and he begins to contemplate. No belief in Allah, but he turns his heart to a creator. And then Allah opens his heart and he makes a dua, O God of the Muslims. O God of the Muslims, my people cannot take this oppression anymore. Allah imbues in his heart that revolt against them. Take up arms against them. I will help you. At that time, the Muslim army was no less than 2 million men in that particular area. It is recorded, Ibn Asir, an authoritative Islamic historian, has written that they overcame 1.4 million of the soldiers without arms and ammunition. And what was worse, a battalion of 150 well-armed Muslim soldiers would succumb to one unarmed of the labor class, saying to 150, wait here, I'm coming. He goes to his tent, he takes a knife, and he comes and he slaughters them like how humans slaughter chickens. Ibn Asir comments on this, that when zulm reaches such a stage, Allah Ta'ala removes courage from the hearts of people. And Allah had taken out the courage and leave the men. One woman would do the same to 50 men. And at this point, the Quran itself says, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ وَاسْبِرُوا. People will ask, what has happened to the Ummah? Allah is saying in the Quran, do not argue with each other, do not disunite with each other, because Allah will remove your strength and Allah Ta'ala will remove your courage. The Quran has diagnosed all of this, but we seem to be overlooking all of this. So brothers and friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a beautiful deen. The biography of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows it, that when this brotherhood has been established, and let us start establishing it from within ourselves, in our homes, in our communities, and then let us broaden it, then we will find that Allah Ta'ala will begin to unite the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The second, very quickly, la tazlimuhu wa la takhzuluhu. A believer will never abandon another believer. Wa la tahqiruhu, and a believer will never belittle another believer. This is also a spiritual ailment and a sickness, that all of us suffer from the sickness of the holy than thou attitude, the HTT that we have. And I always feel that I'm doing right and everybody else is doing wrong. We want to judge everyone else to the extent in the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that one person said about another person that wallah, Allah will never forgive you. Allah revealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let him know that he has no authority to take qasam in my name. I have forgiven that person about whom he has spoken, and let him begin his deeds again, because I have annulled all his deeds. So may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, and may Allah ta'ala give us the ability to understand that it begins with me, it begins with each one of us. Let us eliminate these three factors from our lives, and we will realize we will become better Muslims, and the ummah will strengthen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.